Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is a special election edition of Your Call. For the next 2 weeks, Tuesdays through Thursdays from 11 to noon, we'll bring you a special hour focusing on local measures, state propositions, and races in California. We're beginning the series by talking about the state Senate race for District 11 between incumbent Senator Scott Wiener and his challenger, educator, and activist Jackie Fielder. The 11th District includes all of San Francisco, part of South San Francisco, Daly City, Broadmoor, and Colma. We were hoping to host a debate between the two candidates, but Senator Wiener declined our invitation. So for the first half of the show, we will talk about his record. And then at 11:30, Jackie Fielder will join us to talk about why she's running and take your questions about her platform. Senator Wiener is endorsed by major Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi, Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, and Dianne Feinstein, and several organizations, including the United Farm Workers, SEIU California, and the California Democratic Party. According to financial disclosure documents filed with the state, of the $1 million that Senator Wiener has raised, 30% came from the real estate lobby, 15% from tech, and 11% from labor unions. Joining us to talk about Senator Wiener's record is Tim Redmond. Tim has been a political and investigative reporter in San Francisco for more than 30 years. He spent much of that time as executive editor of the Bay Guardian. He is the founder of 48 Hills, an independent online news source focusing on San Francisco news and culture. Hi again, Tim. Thanks so much for sticking with us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. As I said, we invited Senator Wiener to join us for this debate. We gave him a number of options, but his campaign declined our invitation. Have you been able to interview Senator Wiener about his record, Tim?
Not recently. He has agreed to do, he agreed to only one debate in this race, which was the one that happened this past Saturday. It was hosted by Manny's, the gathering space and cafe in the Mission. Hosted online. That is the only debate that he has had. And he is generally, I think, trying to do what front runners sometimes do, which is avoid the press, avoid debates, and try to dismiss his opponent and pretend that she's not there. This is not an unusual thing for an incumbent to do against a challenger. I think Wiener probably believes that the more he debates Jackie Fielder, the more exposure she gets. And he's trying to avoid giving her any additional exposure. So, you know, I have been following Scott Wiener for many, many years in his career in politics, from the Democratic County Central Committee to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to the California State Senate. I've watched his record closely, but I think he is, it's interesting. In the debate at Manny's, Scott seemed to be trying really hard to move to the left. He's being challenged by Jackie Fielder, who's obviously challenging from him from a more progressive standpoint and running to his left. And he tried at that debate very carefully to shift perspectives of him and to say he is the progressive stalwart in the state legislature. He has 100% rating from the ACLU. Is the progressive from San Francisco in what is not always a progressive body in Sacramento. And he was trying to hold down that position, which is not entirely consistent with his record over the years.
What else really stood out for you in that debate? As you said, it's the first and only debate between the two candidates.
Well, what stood out for me is on everything that progressives are talking about now, from homelessness and housing, creating more affordable housing, defunding the police, taxing the rich, on all of these things, Scott came forward and attempted to say that he was on really the same side as Jackie, that there's really not what he was attempting to do, which again is a classic political move for someone in a position like Wiener, is to say that there's really not that much difference between the two candidates, except for his experience. And The line, in fact, I just got a mailer from him, reelect Senator Scott Wiener, the experienced and effective leadership we need. And that was really what he focused on during the debate, was that he has been in politics a long time, he has a lot of experience, and that he's been effective in getting bills passed in the state legislature. So his, you know, if there was overall message from Team Wiener, it's, we don't really disagree with Jackie Fielder on much. She doesn't really have many reasons. There aren't many reasons to vote for her. And we are way more experienced and effective than a newcomer to the state Senate would be. That's kind of the message that they're trying to put out.
Hmm. So let's just talk a little bit about Scott Wiener. Again, we were in contact with his campaign and we offered him several dates for a debate, but they declined. So Scott Wiener was elected to the state Senate in 2016 after he served two terms on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. So he's been in politics for several years. What else can you tell us about his past and his political experience? Well,
Scott Wiener is extremely hardworking. He has a very clear political agenda, and he has pushed it very hard and effectively over the years. On the Board of Supervisors, Scott was very much part of the moderate wing on the Board of Supervisors. He very rarely voted with the progressives, and he often took much more, you know, what we would call in San Francisco more conservative positions compared to the progressive wing of the board, but certainly what by any standard would be seen as kind of, you know, Democratic Party centrist. He, you know, a few years ago, for example, I mean, he's always been someone who believed that that homeless encampments on the streets are a big problem and we need to clear them out. He sides very much with homeowners as opposed to tenants. He, you know, right now everyone's talking about defunding the cops. It was, you know, 5 years ago, he was calling for a major increase in the number of police officers on the force. He wanted to see more than 2,000 cops on the streets of San Francisco. Now there's a measure on the ballot to allow the city to actually reduce the number of police officers. Interestingly, a few years ago, there was a police, before he was in the state Senate, when his old friend and mentor, Mark Leno, was in the state Senate, Leno put forward a relatively mild police accountability resolution in the state Senate, and the Board of Supervisors took a vote on a measure to endorse this, and Wiener declined. This was something that was not by any stretch a radical move. It was the idea that that police officers should be more accountable for their actions, particularly in situations of use of force. And the main opponents of this, of course, were the police officer associations. And even though at that point Wiener and Leno were close friends, Wiener, I think almost alone on the board, there may have been a couple of others, declined to endorse it. So, you know, he has not been in the camp of either pushing for more police accountability or now, as we're talking about, defunding the police. And, you know, he never said he was. He was always consistent in the idea that we need more and more stringent law enforcement. He was, talked about the need to crack down on what we now call quality of life offenses. You know, homeless people on the sidewalks, car break-ins, these kind of more minor offenses, but ones that he saw his constituents being very concerned about. So that was, as I said, that's just his record. He opposed Proposition C, the measure a couple of years ago that raised taxes on the biggest corporations in San Francisco, on companies with gross receipts of more than $50 million. These are big companies. And they raised taxes on them to fund programs for homeless people. He opposed that measure. He supported the sit lie laws, the laws that basically make it illegal to sit or lie on the sidewalk, which obviously one could argue is unconstitutional, but has certainly been a failure. He, on housing, and he's made housing the linchpin of his record in Sacramento. He basically argues that we need 3.5 million more housing units in California, that we have, that the state has underbuilt housing consistently. And he is someone who has believed consistently through his career that the private sector, that the private market will solve this problem if we let it. That basically the problem with housing is that we have too many rules, that the zoning is too strict, that there's too much red tape involved in building housing, that it's too easy for opponents to appeal housing development projects. And then if we cut that red tape and make it easier to build, developers will build housing and eventually the prices will come down. This is the position of YIMBY California, the San Francisco YIMBY folks. And this has been Scott Wiener's position all along. And now, the bills that he has pushed in Sacramento have been opposed by a lot of affordable housing and tenant groups who are worried that, for example, if you build a 200-unit luxury apartment complex in the Mission, it's going to drive up real estate values elsewhere in the neighborhood and is going to lead to displacement. And we have seen this. And also, you know, a lot of folks argue that giving private developers a more free rein to build housing is not going to bring down housing costs, never has, and it almost structurally can't. But that has been Scott Wiener's position, and he's been very consistent with it. And while he talks about affordable housing, private developers are not building affordable housing and will not build affordable housing except to the extent that cities require them to build a certain percentage of affordable housing. Wiener has been among those who consistently on the Board of Supervisors said, we can't set that percentage too high. We can't require developers to build 20-25% affordable housing because that will discourage more private development. So this is, you know, Scott has been supported consistently by the real estate industry and campaign contributions. I don't think that Scott's position on housing is driven by the fact that the real estate industry is giving him money. I think the real estate industry gives him money because they think that he would be better for them than his opponent. But I think Scott Wiener seriously, honestly believes in these positions. These are the positions that he took. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's his position. That's his political position. I often disagree with his political positions, but I think he's sincere about them. It's just that these are not political positions of someone who is in the progressive camp in San Francisco.
Tim Redmond has been a political and investigative reporter in San Francisco for more than 30 years and has closely followed Scott Wiener's career. Again, we did invite him for a debate. We gave him many options, but his campaign declined. Scott Wiener is running against Jackie Fielder. Jackie Fielder is running against Scott Wiener. She did accept. And so we're going to have Jackie on at about 11:30. If you have any questions for her, get those questions ready and then call us at about 11:30. If you have any questions for Tim about Scott Wiener, what are your thoughts about Scott Wiener's record at the Board of Supervisors and as state senator? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Tim, let's spend a little bit of time just talking about where Scott Wiener really fits in the Senate. As you point out in your recent piece, the California State Senate is not a bastion of progressive thought. You write that in many cases, it's even worse than the Assembly. In both houses, Democrats have control, but the real estate industry, big pharma, the oil industry, and telecom have a tight hold on both parties. And there are a lot of conservative Democrats who won't accept even modest reforms. So where does Scott Wiener fit in the Senate?
Well, that's, you know, he is not wrong when he says he's part of the more progressive wing of the state Senate, because the state Senate is, you know, certainly by San Francisco standards, a generally relatively conservative body. So if you take, it's hard to imagine anyone from San Francisco. It's hard to imagine any elected official in San Francisco right now who would not be part of the progressive wing in the state Senate. Just because that's what the state Senate is, all right? However, I would say that on housing, Scott is very much, even in the state Senate, he is very much pushing a private sector development agenda. And I could argue that that is not a progressive position. Most of the progressives in San Francisco, most people on the political left in San Francisco, are much more interested in seeing public sector solutions to the housing crisis. We are now, there's the measure on the ballot to allow 10,000 more public sector and nonprofit housing units in San Francisco, including more public housing. The Prop C money, more than $300 million a year, is going to go to nonprofit and non-market solutions. And Scott Wiener is very much a free, you know, a free market person when it comes to housing. He really thinks that we need to allow more developers to build more with less restrictions, because, you know, I guess the, you know, following neoclassical economics, if we increase the supply, the price will eventually come down. That's an argument that economists can have, and there's been a lot of studies showing that, in fact, that isn't the case, that in San Francisco, certainly, you don't lower the price of housing by allowing developers to build more luxury units. That doesn't do anything to bring down the price of housing, because that's all developers are going to build right now, is very high-end units. But that is where, that is really, and I'm trying to be fair to Scott here, and I don't think he would disagree with me, and I'm not trying to distort his record. I'm trying to fairly and accurately represent it and say that, you know, there's a lot of folks in San Francisco and among progressive communities around the state who think that that's not the best solution to our housing crisis.
Well, today we are speaking with... Oh, go ahead.
No, Scott Wiener also, by the way, was always a big supporter of, for example, the Google buses and the Twitter tax break and the idea of the, you know, what was former the late Mayor Ed Lee's agenda to increase, to bring as many tech companies as possible into San Francisco and as many tech workers as possible into San Francisco and, you know, allow them to operate giant luxury buses that take them, that shuttle them in comfort from San Francisco to Silicon Valley so that they can more comfortably live in San Francisco without really looking at the displacement that was caused by all of that.
Today, we're speaking with Tim Redman, founder of 48 Hills and longtime journalist in San Francisco. Today, we are talking about the race between incumbent Senator Scott Wiener and Jackie Fielder, an educator and an activist. Senator Wiener, unfortunately, declined our invitation to join today's show. So we thought we would spend the first half of the show talking about his record. And then at 11:30, Jackie Fielder will join us to talk about why she's running and take your questions about her platform. Let's go to a caller. Let's hear from Starchild. Starchild, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Rez. Hi,
oh,
good morning.
Oh, great. We tried you twice in our last hour, but something happened, so I'm glad you're here.
I don't know what happened either. Yeah, I got disconnected and seemed to be technical difficulties, but I'm here now. I wanted to applaud you for trying to get Scott Wiener on the show to debate. I think it's really deplorable, frankly, when candidates won't debate their challengers. And I am running against David Chu for State Assembly in District 17. I would love to be, appear on your show and debate him. I'm very flexible about the time and arrangements, but I hope you will do the same thing with that race and try to get David Chu to debate me on the air.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to tell you the truth, Starchild, during COVID, we've tried to get many California politicians on, even for 5 minutes. And, for example, Governor Gavin Newsom, we just haven't been able to find even 5 minutes. It's been really tough.
Well, I've got time for you.
All right.
So,
well,
I'm happy. I'm an activist. I'm, I think, not your, certainly not your standard progressive. I identify as libertarian, but I think people find on a lot of issues my views are more progressive than the incumbent establishment Democrats.
All right. Well, thank you. We don't have that many days for this extra hour, but we'll keep it in mind and we'll also pass it on to the news department. Thanks so much. Tim, I think Starchild brings up a good point. It's been really tough for us to get even 5 minutes with politicians during COVID. And again, you know, we offered the Wiener campaign pretty much any day in October. What is going on here? I mean, you've been a political reporter for 3 decades. It seems that politicians just, you know, they're not willing to talk to constituents. What's going on here?
It's been a problem. I am not surprised in terms of political strategy that Scott Wiener is doing this. It is rather disturbing. I mean, he is an elected official from San Francisco, and he should be accountable to his constituents. And he should be, you know, when he was running the first time, not as an incumbent, There were a number of debates he had with Jane Kim, who was the two of them were running for the seat. They were all over. They went to forums. They went to debates. They, you know, community groups that were hosting events would invite both of them, and they'd both come and speak. All of these endorsements.
They came on this show, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
They came on your show, and that's the way it should be. And the idea that now that he's an incumbent, he doesn't have to come back to the district and debate a challenger, who, you know, is a serious and credible challenger. I mean, she did relatively well in the primary, and the polls show that the race is, you know, relatively close. That this is not, you know, it's just kind of disturbing that he won't come and debate her or even be on your show. I know the governor is really busy. He's got the states right. burning up, and we've got the COVID pandemic and all this, but still, that's not an excuse for anyone not to have 5 minutes for a radio station like KALW with the reach that you have. It's, you know, it really is disturbing.
Well, and also it's a debate. I mean, it's not like you're going, you know, onto a screaming show. I mean, we want to really talk about the issues here.
No,
and at a time when the media are shrinking and there are so many cutbacks because of COVID, we've talked to you about this time and time again. It's so important for people to be able to ask politicians questions.
Absolutely. And, you know, your show has always been extremely fair to both sides. And it would give callers a chance to call in and ask questions. You know, one of the challenges in the one debate that there's been at Manny's is there was no opportunity for the audience to ask any questions. And for the people who are going to decide whether to vote for Scott Wiener or Jackie Fielder to ask them any direct questions. So, you know, COVID makes it frustrating. You can't do public appearances, but there's no reason why, that's all the more reason why somebody who's running for office ought to be on your show, because this is a way that they can come in by phone or by Zoom. They don't have to be any place in person. They can have a reasonable debate with no health risks at all. It's, you know, it's, as I say, I just, whatever your political positions with Scott Wiener, whether you agree or disagree with him on housing, whether you agree or disagree with him on taxes and homelessness and all these other things that I've tried to fairly present what his perspective is, while I often disagree with it, he should, it's, I think there's something wrong when he doesn't agree to debates and doesn't agree to talk to you. You agree to be on your show.
One question I really wanted to ask Scott Wiener is that look at where we are right now. California is the fifth largest economy in the world. It's home to 165 billionaires, some of the most profitable tech companies in the world. California also has the highest poverty rate in the country. More than a third of Californians are at or near the poverty level. A third of Californians earn less than $15 an hour. Homelessness has increased by 22% over the last decade. COVID has made this all worse. So I just want to know, if he's reelected, how is he going to deal with this massive inequality, the poverty, the homelessness? And as you know, Tim, you know, even people who consider themselves to be in the middle are struggling right now with so much student debt. Do you have any idea what Scott plans to do, Senator Wiener plans to do, if he's reelected, to tackle these issues?
He hasn't told us. His mailers, his ads are all about things that he's done in the past. If he has a plan to more equitably distribute income and wealth in California, he hasn't put it forward to us. And I think Rose, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think everything that we look at right now, we have to look at through that economic inequality lens, which is really at the root of so many of the problems in California. I mean, the billionaires in California, the wealthiest in California, have been getting richer during COVID. Their wealth has gone up significantly during COVID. Well, you know, how many people do we have unemployed in the state right now who are really struggling, especially since Congress did not reauthorize the additional unemployment money? This ought to be the number one top of the agenda for everyone who is in elective office in California right now.
Right. Well, I will say Scott Wiener has a section on his site, reducing poverty and income inequality. And he details bills that he authored. For example, SB 900, expanding access to fresh produce for CalFresh recipients, adopting an estate tax in California, eliminating the asset tax for CalWORKs. And let's see, the first one, the CalFresh, has been adopted as part of the budget. A number of the other ones have been held in assembly. So these are all good. I mean, Scott Wiener has authored some very important pieces of legislation. But I wish that I could ask him, what are you planning to do as the state is in such a crisis with COVID?
Yes, and he has. I mean, he has introduced some very important legislation. I mean, his, you know, the sex offender registry bill that was incredibly homophobic, the previous law was incredibly homophobic and really discriminated against LGBT youth, that he got death threats from around the country for having the courage to stand up and push for that bill. He has done some very important stuff as a legislator, and I would never want to for a second dismiss the significance of that. But on economic issues involving taxation and redistribution of wealth, he has been pretty much in the mainstream of the Democratic Party. I could argue that we need someone, that everyone who is running for public office now needs to be beyond the mainstream of the Democratic Party and pushing more towards the, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party that really focused on income inequality, particularly on redistribution of wealth and income.
Tim Redmond has been a political reporter in San Francisco for more than 30 years. He is founder of 48 Hills, an independent online news source focusing on San Francisco news and culture. Tim, thank you, as always, so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Thank you. And again, we did invite Senator Wiener to join our show for a debate. We gave him many options, but his campaign unfortunately declined. And so we decided to have Tim on to talk about his record. Jackie Fielder did accept our invitation. And coming up after a quick break, she will be here to talk about why she's running, and she will take your questions about her platform. This is a special election series of Your Call, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. This is actually a special election edition of Your Call. For the next 2 weeks, Tuesdays through Thursdays from 11 to noon, we will bring you a special hour focusing on local measures, state propositions, and races in California. As you heard, Senator Wiener declined our invitation to debate Jackie Fielder today. They did have their first and only debate on Saturday, and you can find a link at yourcallradio.org. Joining us now is Jackie Fielder, an educator, activist, and co-founder of the San Francisco Public Bank Coalition. That's an organization working to establish a municipal-owned bank in San Francisco. Jackie Fielder's campaign has raised more than $600,000 and has donations from 3,500 individual donors. Jackie Fielder has been endorsed by a number of current and former elected officials, including San Francisco supervisors Gordon Marr, Dean Preston, Matt Haney, and Hillary Ronan. She's also been endorsed by the California Teachers Association, the San Francisco Tenants Union, Local 2 Unite Here, and Sunrise Bay Area. If you have any questions for Jackie Fielder about why she's running and her platform, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you, Jackie. First question, why did you decide to get in this race?
Well, I decided to run because we needed an option here in District 11, and I'm running to bring about fundamental change from the bottom up.
So tell us more. I mean, as you know, we were just talking to Tim about, you know, what it takes to run so much money. Of course, COVID just changes everything. It's hard to do door knocking. But just talk about, again, you know, what is your main mission here? Why are you deciding to take on Scott Wiener to become a state senator?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when I announced this campaign back in late November of last year, we obviously had no idea we're about to enter the worst economic downturn in modern history and a pandemic. However, all of our problems and inequalities existed before then. You know, as you were saying, this is the fifth largest economy in the world here in California. And we also have one of the highest poverty rates in the country, one of the lowest per student spending in the whole country. And seeing these inequities, living them myself as a renter, as a woman of color from a working class background, it's very clear we are out of time to address climate change, affordable housing, homelessness, and so many other issues in our society. And so I'm running for a Green New Deal for California, single-payer health care, rerouting funding from the police and prison systems to our communities, investing in affordable housing, saving our public schools and transportation systems, redressing wealth inequality, solving the homelessness emergency, and really protecting the human rights of all Californians to make sure that this is a place where everyone can live, not just the wealthy.
You also support a $20 an hour minimum wage, expanding public banks. You have a lot of experience with public banks, which we can talk about. And I just wonder, Jackie, you know, given the makeup of the Senate, as Tim was saying, you know, Democrats have a supermajority in Sacramento, but the real estate industry, big pharma, the oil industry, and telecom have a very tight hold on the parties. There are a lot of conservative Democrats who won't accept modest reforms in Sacramento. How do you see yourself playing the role of fighting for these major progressive changes, given that it's really hard to pass truly progressive legislation in Sacramento?
It's true. So a couple things. One is, you know, I'm proud to have the backing of progressive groups like the San Francisco Tenants Union, who's been fighting for tenants and is actively counseling people as they are facing eviction right now because our California legislature failed to pass a strong eviction moratorium or help small homeowners who are facing foreclosure. I'm also proud to be endorsed by the Harvey Milk LGBTQ Democratic Club, the San Francisco League of Pissed Off Voters, Bay Rising Action Fund, and a number of other progressive elected officials in San Francisco and District 11. You know, what I believe in this moment is we can't afford to be moderate on these issues of climate change, of inaffordability, of homelessness. We need to make sure that the wealthiest interests, corporations in our state are paying their fair share, and also not gaining windfall profits off the backs of workers who are putting themselves and their families at risk every time they go to work, and also making sure that they're not going to maximize their profits by selling back to us our own human rights, whether that's healthcare or housing or education. My opponent has long had a relationship and been supported and funded by the real estate lobby, charter school advocates, police unions, big pharma companies, and I'm proud to be the only candidate in this race to reject contributions from all of them.
We have a question from Adam. He says, I'm a union worker at San Francisco State University. We are experiencing mass layoffs due to budget shortfalls related to the pandemic in one of the wealthiest areas of the wealthiest countries in the world. What do you advocate for to mitigate these layoffs of public employees in California and San Francisco?
Yeah, so thank you, Adam, for your question. I'm also an educator at San Francisco State. I teach in the College of Ethnic Studies. But, you know, make no mistake about it, the Democratic supermajority balanced the budget deficit on the backs of working people, on the backs of public college student and educators. So, you know, just $4 billion, what one reporter called pocket lint, was raised from big businesses by closing a couple business tax loopholes. And this is at a time when California's billionaires have profited immensely during the pandemic, and virtually no new revenue is being raised from those who can afford to pay to help those who are struggling. Instead, we have raided housing and higher education budgets while keeping things like corrections basically the same and deferring payments to school districts, and basically it just delays funding. All these cuts will become more severe if the federal government under Trump fails to bail us out, which they have continued to do. And so the legislature should have done everything in its power to tax the millionaires and billionaires. Part of that is being in session. They took not one, but two recesses while the rest of us were facing down this epidemic and fearing for our safety and our financial well-being. Going back to your point about how to get things done in Sacramento, is we need a movement. And also, I would be in a position to push for the biggest, boldest legislation. That's what I think the state senator from San Francisco and Northern San Mateo County should be calling for. And if I have to elect those votes myself, I would do that as well.
Well, Adam, thank you for the email. We will definitely do a show about this. So if you have any information to share with us, please email us again. Let's go to a caller, Sarah in San Francisco. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, my question is for Jackie. I'm glad that she's advocated for public banks, but your opponent co-authored this legislation, and you've stated in the past that you got involved at the end. What was the extent of your role in that fight?
Yeah, so, and thank you. Thank you for your question, Sarah. In 2016, I left the Bay Area to join my Lakota relatives and our allies to protest the Dakota Access Pipeline. After seeing my relatives face down the barrel of guns, I had to ask myself what kind of economic system would unleash this kind of violence. So when I returned to the Bay Area, I immediately began following the money from North Dakota all the way back to San Francisco and researching our city's finances to find that we had billions of dollars invested in Wall Street banks. We could instead be investing in a public bank to finance affordable housing, renewable energy, public infrastructure, small businesses. So I co-founded the San Francisco Public Bank Coalition in 2017. Fast forward to 2019, we finally got a bill in front of the legislature called Public Bank Bill AB 857. It was an alliance of public bank chapters across the state formed under the umbrella organization of the California Public Banking Alliance. We most closely worked with Assemblymember David Chu and Miguel Santiago of LA, co-authors, as many people know. You can sign on your name as a legislator, as a co-author. Doesn't mean you have to count the votes, lobby for votes, make public statements to push for it. And so a lot of that legwork was done by us, the organizers, alongside our leading co-authors. And so we were, working with groups across the state to lobby representatives to push for this bill. And every single committee was like an uphill battle to get that bill out with the necessary votes. But we watched every single vote, especially working closely with groups like Public Bank LA, Sunflower Alliance, and Friends of the Earth. And finally, we got it past the assembly, and that was a really big win for our movement. Not any one person is responsible for that win. I think it's been a movement win, and I've wanted to recognize it as such.
And Jackie, according to the sfpublicbank.org website, you're all coalition building, educating, and forming strategies to establish a public bank by 2023?
Yeah, so locally, we've been working to find out ways to be able to establish our own municipal public bank, because Public Bank Bill AB 857 basically legalized the pathway. It didn't immediately create public banks up and down the state. We're also pushing for state legislation to be able to create a state bank. And so locally, where a lot of my focus has been to really provide a pathway, whether that's the governance structure or pro formas and the calculation. So much of the question about what a public bank is has to do with the governance and the founding charter, which establishes its mission, its lending priorities, whether that's affordable housing or whatever else. We need to have clear definitions about what this bank should be doing and what really is the public good. And as a coalition, we've long believed that it is financing the affordable housing for low-income and working-class people, renewable energy projects, public infrastructure, and financing small businesses to be able to stay afloat, especially in this pandemic. So really, public banking is an engine to economic recovery. It's taken a movement to bring it from being considered a largely radical idea to actually being quite mainstream. So we've come a long way, and we still have a long ways to go.
Well, thank you for the question, Sarah. Today we are joined by Jackie Fielder, co-founder of the San Francisco Public Bank Coalition, an educator at San Francisco State, and an activist, Jackie Fielder is running against Senator Scott Wiener, who declined our invitation for a debate. If you have any questions for Jackie Fielder, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Let's go next to Andy in Redwood City. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning, Rose. Good morning, Ms. Fielder. Ms. Fielder, I was wondering if you could differentiate your housing policy from that of Scott Wiener, where he's the build, deregulate, just let them run rampant. And also, I was wondering what your feelings were on Nicole Fernandez, the chair of the San Mateo County Democrats, actually taking sides in this race, which I think is totally outrageous. And I asked Ms. Fernandez to please step down. She should not be in that position taking sides when two Democratic candidates are running against each other. Thank you.
Well, to address your second question, I think individuals are free to endorse. I'm proud to be endorsed by the San Francisco Democratic Party chair, David Campos. And, yeah, at the same time that this is a Democrat-on-Democrat race, the California Democratic Party has poured more than $100,000 to support my opponent at a time when we should be focusing on flipping districts from Republican to Democrat. But in any case, as far as my differentiation with the senator on our housing platform, I have a radically different approach to California's housing crisis. And really, it's threefold. It's keeping people in their homes during the pandemic, building affordable housing, and prioritizing the needs of our communities before the profits of real estate developers. You know, I agree that we actually need to build a lot more affordable housing, especially along public transit lines and in job hubs. But I disagree with the senator when his bills foster displacement and gentrification here in our own district. You know, I support fast-tracking to 100% affordable housing and rezoning affluent enclaves to allow for greater density. But where is the funding going to come from? In an economic downturn like this, Wall Street doesn't even want to finance luxury apartments here in San Francisco, let alone for low-income housing and moderate-income housing. This is the time of any to push for massive investments in housing from the public sector and perhaps public banks to ensure that all Californians have access to affordable housing and not just the wealthy. As far as keeping people in their homes during the pandemic, we need to cancel rent and mortgages for people affected by the pandemic, expand rent control and tenant protections, which is why I'm proud to support Prop 21. My opponent does not support it, and that's the rolling back of Costa-Hawkins Act. I also support a universal right to counsel for anyone facing eviction, a vacancy tax to open up homes at lower prices, an anti-displacement act to prevent gentrification and reverse displacement, a rental registry and landlord licensing system to actually enforce tenant protections, and last, a $100 billion California Housing Emergency Fund. And to be clear, this is a fund that would take 200,000 units off of the speculative market entirely and build 100,000 units of new social housing. And if we successfully pass Prop K here in San Francisco, this would basically be able to fund the 10,000 homes that are being approved by that. It would also provide funding for rehabilitating the existing stock of public housing that we have that is really crumbling, and especially for low-income and working-class people who live in it. They deserve to live in humane and stable housing.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Jackie, because on your website, you do have detailed plans, and one of them is to rehabilitate publicly owned housing, including energy efficiency and renewable electricity upgrades. I mean, as you point out on your site, Black, brown, and poor communities have really borne the brunt of disinvestment in public housing.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is going back decades to the Nixon and Reagan administrations, who wanted to see the crumbling of public housing in order for there to be this transfer of housing production, you know, largely 100% provided by the private market and a tiny provided by, you know, housing authorities and such. And so, yes, my whole plan is at jackieforsenate.com/housing, JACKIEFOR, senate.com. And you know, we have to make sure that everyone is living in the housing that they deserve, not just the housing that the the private market provides that, you know, people like myself and most Californians really can't afford.
Well, thank you for that question. I also wanted to ask you about climate change, Jackie, given what we are dealing with in California. You have a number of plans here: phase out fossil fuel extraction, green jobs, public takeover of PG&E. We've done a lot of shows about that. Expand community gardens and land trusts. And then you also have an entire section on your site, the Indigenous Wildfire Task Force. We've done several shows also about this. We don't have that much time left, but can you just talk about what some of your top priorities would be when it comes to the climate crisis?
Absolutely. So we need to phase out all oil drilling, not just fracking, by 2024. We need to fund green jobs to make the just transition for workers from extraction to solar, wind, and other forms of renewable energy. We need a public takeover PG&E that balances equity and costs nothing extra to utility payers and workers alike. We need an Indigenous Wildfire Task Force to adapt to the climate that we are now being forced to live with in our drought and increasingly heating state. And that means returning Indigenous land stewardship to have small prescribed burns, to reduce the flammability of our state as well. And I can't underestimate this, and I can't understate this enough. We need funding for affordable housing. We need funding for public transportation if we want any chance at meeting our emissions goals, because our transportation sector represents 40% of our emissions, and we have completely failed at meeting our target for 2030. We also need to restore our soil and hopefully move from big corporate agriculture to smaller scale organic pesticide-free farming, both for the sake of workers and for consumers like myself.
Let's go to another caller. Let's hear from Sam in San Francisco. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. My question actually is just about that global warming and climate change. And one thing I was surprised to see, Jackie, is that in the SF Bike Coalition questionnaire, you said that you opposed SB1, which is a tax on oil and gasoline to fund public transportation and road repairs. I know it's easy to say you're going to tax corporations and make public transit better, but at the end of the day, combating global warming will require people to adjust their lifestyles and drive less, which is just a fact. And my question is, do you see a path to ending climate or combating climate change without taxing oil or raising the price of driving, which is what you seem to indicate in your opposition to SB1. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you, Sam. And in 2017, my opponent championed SB1, which is, to be clear, a regressive gas tax that disproportionately punishes super commuters who have been displaced from the cities from which they work. It provided $1 billion for public transportation, but $5 billion for roads, supporting more use of cars. That's why it was opposed by environmental justice groups like Sierra Club, California Bicycle Coalition, the San Francisco Transit Riders, and many more. And you know who did support? Suburban cities and tech companies who rely on that car-centric culture. So SB1 is regressive by both financial and environmental standards. And if we're being realistic about our emissions goals, we need permanent funding mechanisms, way more than $1 billion a year, for expanding our public transit.
Well, thank you for that question, Sam. We're almost out of time, but we want to get in a few more. Let's go to Jackie, are you still with us?
Hello?
Okay, yes, you're there. Let's go to Theo in San Francisco. Hi, Theo.
Hi, Jackie. I've been following your campaign and seeing you, kind of take issue of Scott's records going all the way back to his time in the city attorney's office. And I'm just wondering, since you're so new to San Francisco politics and you don't have that same level of track record, so if we try and research our options in this race,
I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm having a hard time understanding you. Can you maybe talk a little louder? We've got a bad line.
Sure. Is that better?
Oh,
can you hear
thank
me now?
You. Much, much better. Thank you.
Sure. So I've just been following your campaign pretty closely and seeing you go after Scott's record, going back to his time in the city, all the way back to when he was a city attorney's office. Since you're so new to SF politics and you don't have quite that same track record, I was curious why you deleted your old social media accounts like Twitter and Medium. So how are voters like myself supposed to understand your evolution on key issues if you kind of remove some of that track record?
I don't know that my entire record has been removed. When I was, for example, 2 years ago, organizing the opposition to the San Francisco police officers' dangerous use of force policy, it was called Prop H, my opponent was on the other side of that, being one of the leading proponents of them alongside them. His record also includes opposing police reform legislation proposed by State Senator Mark Leno, advocating for more SFPD officers, calling anyone who disagreed with him deluded, voting to rush approval for a new jail despite the fact that the sheriff said it wasn't necessary, opposing a ban on armed guards in Muni, opposing a resolution condemning police brutality in the wake of the police murder of Michael Brown in Ferguson, voting against an accountability measure to keep part of police funding in reserve until they demonstrated reforms, and refusing to support calls for Police Chief Greg Sir to resign. My record goes back to my time as an undergrad, and when the senator, who was then a supervisor, was opposing a resolution condemning police brutality after Michael Brown, I was in the streets with my classmates protesting in support of Black Lives Matter. And at that point, it wasn't as popular as it is right now. I also have taught in a youth detention facility, a basic legal rights program. I've organized prisoners' literature book projects. And so my record goes far enough back to ensure that I'm actually the only candidate in this race not ever supported by police unions, and I will remain 100% independent.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much, Rose. I really appreciate it.
Jackie Fielder is an educator at San Francisco State, an activist, and co-founder of the San Francisco Public Bank Coalition. Her campaign has raised more than $600,000 and donations from 3,500 donors. She's been endorsed by a number of current and former elected officials, including San Francisco supervisors Hillary Ronan and Matt Haney. She's also been endorsed by the California Teachers Association, the San Francisco Tenants Union, Local 2 Unite Here, and Sunrise Bay Area. You can learn more about Jackie Fielder and her platform at yourcallradio.org. We did invite Senator Scott Wiener to join the show, but he declined our invitation. You can also find his website and platform at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing this special election edition of Your Call. For the next 2 weeks, Tuesdays through Thursdays from 11 to noon, we will bring you a special hour focusing on local measures, state props, and races in California. Thanks to Damian Miner for keeping our studio running. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.